And as a matter of fact, I was told by someone today when I shared with him on the telephone what we were going to talk about on the show tonight. He said, I bet you have trouble. So maybe maybe we got hit. Who knows? I don't know. We are broadcasting, though, full speed ahead, and we are privileged to have with us tonight Lee Bracker. And, Lee, let me ask you, am I saying your name right?
Yes, you are.
Okay, Bracker.
Well, it'd be more correct. It'd be more correct if you call me Cracker.
Cracker? Well, why is that? I mean, because of the subject matter we're talking about?
Yeah, just a joke. It's for all the sheeple people out there that don't believe what's going on. And I play with it. You know, I just have a lot of fun with that kind of thing. That was actually my nickname when I was in high school. And, you know, I detested it, of course, but now I sort of bask in it. I think it's kind of a cool thing. But yeah, no, you pronounce it correctly. That's
okay,
fine.
Good. Now, you're in Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah, currently I'm in Phoenix. I'm
okay.
Talking to you from Phoenix.
All right.
But I do live in Tucson.
And Arizona is, of course, the state with the big ditch in it, known as the Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the stories that just has fascinated me, Lee, for a long, long time, has been the story about the, back in, I think it was 1909, the Arizona Gazette newspaper published about Mr. Kincaid finding a cave, and that it had possibly Egyptian artifacts in it. They were some type of artifacts that he found to be, you know, unusual, and some mummies. And then the Smithsonian, according to the newspaper, took over the excavation of the site, and then it all just disappeared. That's been a really fascinating topic for me. And as you know, I used to live in Phoenix, and the show originated from there. A fascinating topic. You publish on your website articles, and included in those articles, you have published some about at least one and probably more about pyramids in the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, the most recent article regarding the whole research into Hoover Dam culminated into you know, looking at the whole canyon itself. Hoover Dam is in Black Canyon, but it holds up the Colorado River, which is one of the things that we learn in our archaeological and geological history is having carved out that whole, what do they call it, just everything as this beautiful natural setting, which I've discovered to not be natural at all. And so therefore, you know, I had to look at everything that whole area, just because it was in the vicinity and had a relationship to Hoover Dam. And another thing that we'll talk about at some other time, and then realize, well, heck, this is not native to this world. This has to be alien. And I believe that it was an alien intellect that constructed this. It's a construct. And the article that I posted to you on your website, I hope that you're able to show that to everybody, and also the YouTube as well, will indicate all of the proof that monuments of the Grand Canyon are pyramids.
Okay. Now, I do want to tell everybody that if you go over to my website, scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show, and then under it, just scroll some more. It's the same picture, but it doesn't have all the titling and stuff on it. It's just the picture. And this is just one of the things that I was hoping to show on our TV channel tonight. But it's on the website. So just scoot over to the website, scroll down, take a look at it. Now, for a long, long time, these so-called monuments have it's been called the monument area, and they have names that are Egyptian gods. They're named after Egyptian gods. So it means that the people who named them recognize that they did look something like construction. And they did look something like Egyptian. Otherwise, they wouldn't have named them these things, right?
Exactly right. You hit the nail on the head. It was a decision-making body that made a determination that they were going to approach this in what I think is a deception to the public as to what they are. And so they could not call them natural features. They're not natural at all. That they had to call them monuments. And anybody that looks up the definition of monument in any dictionary will tell you that they're not natural at all. It's a man-made construct. Monuments to deceased kings and heroes and those in power and whatnot. When you look at the definition, you'll know for a fact that they did that on purpose. Otherwise, they would have called them the natural features of the Grand Canyon.
Okay,
one
so
monument.
Because the picture that I put on the website is the Isis Temple.
Okay.
Let's use it as
an actual photograph for clarification, so I know what you're talking about. Is it a photograph of somebody standing there with a camera photographing that, or is it a plan view?
No, it's a photograph.
Okay.
Just a photograph.
Like a National Geographic. Oh, uh-huh. Sure.
Okay. Now,
it looks like a pyramid. It's
It's basically that shape. But I want to ask you, why do you look at that and you see it's not natural, and other people look at it and they say, oh, yeah, that's natural? I mean, what is it about this that to you says that's not a natural feature?
The pyramids of Giza in the Egyptian area, where they have three that match up with the three stars of the Belt of Orion, they're made with... you could probably tell me, because I think they were granite stones, and they were chipped out and, you know, fitted perfectly to create those structures. But the ones in the Grand Canyon were done the same way, but not the same way in Egypt, I believe. I think they were made out of baked earth, just like adobe bricks would be made, baked by the sun or fire kilned. And they are... You know, it is from the earth, so over time, you know, of course, plants can grow on them and extract the minerals to supplement their biology of the plant. So, you know, you got plants and foliage growing over all that, but they appear to be natural. You know, the formations, you know, what can grow on the pyramids of Egypt? Well, nothing. But the ones in the Grand Canyon, you got growth all over it, so...
Well, you know, the largest pyramid on the planet, as far as anybody knows, in terms of its volume, is down in South America, and it's Mirador. And it's covered in jungle. You can't even see it. You know, it's covered in jungle. But it's a pyramid. It's been verified to be a pyramid. And they say it's the largest by volume of any of the pyramids known to exist.
And when you have jungle growth growing on those pyramids, what they're doing is their root system is seeking earth, and so they can go down between the crevices and the, you know, and they get down there and actually, you know, become foliage. And so, therefore, it's a misconception that in the sense of the Grand Canyon, when I'm looking at it, I'm seeing something that would, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I said nothing.
Oh.
Okay, but I will. I want to talk about this picture for a little bit, and I'm going to talk about things that look natural and things that don't. First of all, at first blush, if you look at this, folks, at first blush, you say, well, it's got the general shape of a pyramid, and I can see places where it looks like stone blocks, and it's kind of, but then I look at the Grand Canyon back there behind it, and I see stratification back there that looks like stratification that I see here. But look closer. Do you really? And the deciding thing, I mean, I see areas like right near the top. That last stratification before you head to the point at the top. That looks like blocks that are put there.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
And you're absolutely right.
And I see some on the right side in that next level down. Looks like blocks, not just
another
stratification.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But now, folks, I want you to look on the left side at the bottom, call it the base, and we see two rectangular arms coming out, and those two rectangular arms coming out at an angle to the left are cut in a rectangle recess. They form a rectangular recess. So we have a 90-degree, 90-degree, and then you come out to the end of the arm, you have a 90-degree. Go over to the right, you have a 90-degree going back towards the pyramid, and then you have a 90-degree. Now, if you will download this picture and zoom in on it, folks, I want to show you two things that I think, three things that I think really set this off as having been either constructed or modified. Perhaps, I don't know, perhaps there's a mound of dirt there that they've modified with blocks. That's a possibility. But one or the other has had the hands of craftsmen on it. And I'm going to show you two, maybe three things. First, those legs that stick out to the left do not look natural. They look constructed. It's too well proportioned to be natural. And they're made of blocks, and there are too many 90-degree angles in it. But if you look at that leg that comes out on the left side, there's one sort of going straight to the left and one coming at an angle towards you. The one that's coming at an angle toward you has some steps going off to the right side with a pathway beside the steps. Now you zoom in. You go ahead and download that and zoom in, and you'll see what I'm talking about. And you will see that pathway and steps, if you go from the bottom upward, lead to a recess that has some kind of carvings there or something. I mean, it's I don't know. You take a look and see. All right, now, go all the way back, and you see right in the center at the bottom, there's this big hole. You see that? Well, zoom in, and what you will see is there is a pathway, a walkway made of stone. Now, there are people who would say, well, that's just natural. Well, if so, nature made all those stones pretty much the same size. And there's a cut recess under the top layer. Nature couldn't do that, but it's not normal. But look inside that hole. Put that in your Photoshop. Put it in whatever software you have. And where it's real dark, even as dark as it is, you can see there is a lighter surface back there at the back. So lighten that up, so that you can see what's in there. And it's a smooth, looks like concrete wall. Lee, that's the thing that sells me. And here's why.
You get it right on the mark. Oh, yeah. Actually, Kevin, I'm glad that you discussed that, because it's exactly what needs to take place in this. It's all geometry. Everything is squares and rectangles and blocks. And for it to be all natural now, do you mind if I interject a little theory here?
No, go ahead.
Okay, if a river, just as little as the Colorado River, carved out that whole chasm, could it have created all that geometry in there, which is not rounded surfaces? You know, when I look at a brook or a stream, I see rounded rocks. I see, and that's because the water is not creating square blocks. Mm-hmm. It's rounding off the edges and corners. That, you know, it just makes obvious sense that the whole totality of the features, it's not just...
Okay, we have to step away for a break, Lee. Hang on, we're going to pick up right there. I'll let you continue when we come back. We'll be back, folks, right after this. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Lee Bracker. Lee, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Outstanding. Okay, I had to interrupt you because the break took over. We want you to continue with what you were saying, so the mic is yours.
Yeah, okay. We left off, and I was talking about how water actually creates sort of like a... organic feature of a rock surface, and we just don't see that with the Grand Canyon features of the monuments that they claim to be natural. And I think that you're right. You know, they are block in nature, and they are on levels, and the geology folks out there are trying to describe them as different levels of evolution and all that, but I think it's BS. It has to be a BS.
My observations. These may be valid. They may not be valid, but they're still my observations. Let's take them a step further. In light of what you're saying, that that water having carved out all of this and left all these monuments. All right, I'm looking at this photograph.
Yeah.
The question
is, how much water would it take, and how wide would the water have to be to actually start from the top down? You know, because we have pinnacles, and then they come down. If you look at the topographical plan view of it using Google Earth or using the topo maps and all that, you're going to see that one river, as wide as Colorado is now, could not have circumvent that whole gorge to create what it did. It had to have been a whole heck of a lot of more water.
Well, let me give you my observation now. Listen. Yeah, listen to this. Take a look at this mm-hmm. picture, folks. The Grand Canyon beyond this monument. Look at the color. At the same level, at the same stratification level as this monument. Look at the color and then look at the monument. The monument is not the same color as the layers of sediment and or stratification of the rest of the canyon beyond it. Nor is this monument the same color as what it's sitting on. It's much redder. Which maybe that indicates that these are baked earth stones, baked earth bricks.
Correct.
That's a possibility. Now, here's another thing. Let's talk about that opening and that wall back there. Folks, if you go to the Grand Canyon, They're out on the internet. There is information that this whole area has been closed to hikers. That's not the case. The case is you can get a hiking permit if you have bona fide credentials as a very experienced hiker. You can get a permit to hike this area. It takes about 4 months for them to process that request. However, they will tell you that all the caves in the Grand Canyon have been closed to hikers. And the reason that they give now is that the condors, two reasons actually, condors have been reintroduced to the Grand Canyon, and many of them live in these caves. And so it's absolutely off limits. You cannot go in any of these caves or tunnels. Another reason that they give, and were giving before the condor reason, is that there were some hikers that went into one of these caves and started a fire, and it caused a lot of damage to some Indian artifacts. Okay? So that being the case, and I apologize for that sound you just heard. Don't know why that happened, but it happened. So those two reasons are given for why you cannot go in the cave. Okay, so if this is all natural, then that would just be a hole and not a cave and not a tunnel. It's just a hole because it doesn't go back very far. I can see the back of it. But what I'm seeing, and if you brighten it up, you will see, it looks like a concrete wall. That means there is a tunnel system at least, and maybe some chambers inside of that, and the water didn't do it. Does that make sense, Lee?
Very much does. How could it be possible here? It's the question, and so therefore it would have to be some kind of construct by an intelligence, whether it was human or it was alien, whatever.
Okay, now,
you know what you brought up? You mm-hmm. brought up something I never contemplated, but empirically I did know, but you made it clearest, and I could think about it, is that there was a color difference mm-hmm. in the, you know, the monument to the rest of the area down in there, and so that is, you know, further research that has to be done into, you know, what the actual material is, and to confirm whether it's baked earth or whatever it is, you know, when you process food, it changes color.
Yeah.
It's through heat, and it changes, so same thing with, you know, before you bake adobe, for example, it has a very soft light color to it, but once it's baked, it has a deeper orange-red color to it, and that's what adobe brick looks like.
Well, you know, this, as far as I'm concerned, this is a rather dramatic color difference.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's what makes that canyon so beautiful, you know, and people are deceived by what it really is.
Well, now, your article... And you have this on your video, you have it in your article. You locate various of these monuments, and you draw lines between them, and it turns out that they form the shape not of the belt of Orion, but of the Orion constellation itself.
Not only the stars, mm-hmm. Kevin, but also the nebulas. They're... I believe that the whole canyon isn't even completely, you know, revealing everything in there. It could be quite a few different constellations in there, but looking at Orion, and it didn't take very long for me to do. I live here in Tucson, I'm in Phoenix, but in Tucson, went to the University of Arizona, to the map department, their archives down there, and I pulled out all the topographical maps, and I also on the internet I got the Orion star system, and all I had to do was in Photoshop, you know, position, resize it, and, you know, just kind of work with it a little bit to see it. I think I actually had to reverse it, you know, Orion had to be like inverse,
mm-hmm.
not inverse I should say, but like reverse to match up with all of the major monuments that they have there. The ones that are named after the Egyptian ones, The Asian ones are not matching up with the stars, but they, or no, actually they do, but they're not part of Orion, which is the Hunter constellation. And it includes the bow and arrow, too, is mm-hmm. the most amazing thing. There, you have the three belt stars, but you also have an area that looks like a sheath or something that comes down from the belt. Those, I believe, are nebulas, but that's what they actually match up with also in the canyon. So they're not just the peaks. They're like whole areas. It's hard to explain by verbalizing it. It has to be done by a photograph, picture.
Well, and you've done that on your website and in the video.
Pretty close to it. I'd like to do it a lot better than what I showed up there, but that'll take a little bit of time to do. I needed to get that out there quick because I had gone to the convention here in Phoenix, and people weren't following what I was saying. I had to actually show it, and so that's why I put that article up there and threw a YouTube together just to show the transition. The overlay is what I'm saying.
Okay, let's talk about... one other thing on this Isis temple. And by the way, folks, let me remind you, that's not what he's calling it. That's what the Grand Canyon National Park calls it. Okay, so right up on the top of that thing, there is a construct that is completely different in color. And when you zoom in on it, it looks almost as if it could be circular, you know, like a grain silo. And it's sticking up there. It's got a little something right up on top of it. And I'm wondering if that might be an observatory, because something very similar to that has been found down in Mayan country in Mexico. So I wonder, what do you think? You think that might be kind of an observatory up there?
I looked at that, and I saw that as very peculiar. It was not natural to me. I think you're looking at it more than I am, which is awesome, because I'm glad you're looking at it. We need more people kind of looking at all this stuff and figuring it out. But if, I'll have to have your information so that I can compare it to the Mayan resemblance that you're speaking of.
Yeah, the Mayans built observatories, and they were circular, and, you know, they look like observatories. They didn't have telescopes in them, as far as we know.
Well, you know, they may have, but all of that stuff had been removed, and we don't know, have knowledge of it. They may have had ocular components, you know, something that can actually see at far distances.
Well, we know that there have been found ground lenses, quartz lenses, down in the ancient areas in Mexico.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just phenomenal, really phenomenal. But, all right, let's talk about some of these other monuments. What are some of the other monuments that are out there?
Okay, well, we have the Tower of Set. We have Horus. Oh, God, what do they call it? Cheops Pyramid. And there are a couple of others that match up with stars like Betelgeuse, Mintaka, Anilac. Just a variety. I'm not sitting in front of my computer, and I haven't committed all of them to memory, but they pretty much line up with the altitude markers that they have in the topo maps.
All right, we're only about 30 seconds away from a break. But I want to tell everyone that I have now linked this photograph on my website. If you go scroll down, you see the picture about tonight's show. Directly under it is the photograph in question. And I linked it, but now it does not appear that link is working. So during the break, I'll get that fixed, and it's going to be linked over to Lee's website. All right? All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And hopefully my efforts at getting that linked have now worked. Some of you, please check that out. All you have to do is get over to my website. And if you're already on the website, understand you have to click refresh to see if that's going to work. I don't know if it is. It looks to me like it is. Let me check it. Yes, it is working. And so if you click on that picture of the Isis temple, it's right below the picture about tonight's show. That will take you to his website, to Lee Bracker's website, and you can read the article and see the pictures of how it matches. All these monuments match up with Orion. Lee, you mentioned that you don't buy the story about how the Colorado River over millions and millions of years cut the Grand Canyon. How do you think it happened?
Well, you know, there is a, you know, go ahead.
We're listening to you.
There is a theory that Canyon Gorge was cut out within a couple of days. I mean, 72 hours. It coincides with what I've developed as a possible, yeah, I'm not going to get into just the Rocky and maybe a battle between the reptilians, the alien gray nations that have an alliance against them, that, you know, they kind of want to take over the world and the human race and the gold thing. But what may have happened is that 10,000 or so years ago, that they actually, using alien technology, melted the ice caps and brought all that water down into great, you know, lakes up there in Utah, and then flooded out at one time, really briefly, really quickly, that whole area that used to be an old ancient seabed, which had originally covered up all those pyramids, if they are pyramids. And that would coincide with the whole story of, you know, the Great Flood, the biblical story of that. Move out all that soft earth to reveal the baked earth, which would be, of course, the pyramids themselves. And that they did that on purpose so that they could get there and get in there and get all the gold that would have been stored in there. I mean, that's just sort of like a nutshell version of it. It's very much more complex than that, but...
Okay, so who do you think...
If that theory is true, just to kind of finish it off, if that theory is true, then it makes a lot of sense because, you know, a little bit of water couldn't have created that whole Grand Canyon area, not the way the Colorado River is right now.
Who do you think stored gold in there?
What makes me think I think there's gold?
No. Who do you think, you said the Anunnaki or whoever melted the ice caps and caused this to flood out and wash away and get down to these pyramids that were covered up. Who built them and who put gold in them?
Well, I don't know. And I don't even think it would be the Anunnaki. It would have been part of their culture back then. I think it was the civilization that preceded all of that, and that it was the reptilians that came down and, you know, their whole desire to get at those minerals, the mineral rights, so to speak, take possession of it.
Okay, why do you think the reptilians did it? What makes you think it was the reptilians?
Well, look who's kind of controlling the earth right now. I mean... We don't know that for a fact. I mean, that's all conjecture, and it's, you know, we don't know for sure. But I look at all that stuff and kind of make a picture of what may have happened. But the fact is that Grand Canyon was created was done. Everything matches up and aligns. There's no coincidence about it. So, me personally, I can't say that it's all, it's just by coincidence.
Well, it's certainly
it's totally devoid of our history. It's not conveyed to us. Even the experts out there don't even know. You know, when you look at all the Sumerian tablets that have been analyzed, not even all of them have been presented to the public, analyzed. It's like half of them have.
Well, there's also, you have some backing. I wish I could think of this guy's name. He is a geologist, and by profession, Dr. Somebody. And I saw this on a documentary maybe 5 or 6 years ago, so I can't remember his name. But
is he in the United States or
yes,
European?
No, he's in the United States. And it is his theory that something very like what you described happened. He doesn't include the extraterrestrials in it, but he says a natural dam on a great lake, not the Great Lakes, but a great lake, north of the Grand Canyon, the natural dam broke for whatever reason, and all of that water rushed out. And in a matter, he says, of anywhere from 24 to 72 hours, the Grand Canyon was formed. And he calls it the hydraulic theory of the formation of the Grand Canyon. But I wish I could remember his name. But that's that basic theory is held by at least one PhD of geology, and he agrees that the Colorado River did not do all of this.
It couldn't have. Anybody with a logical sense could look at all of that and say, "No way." I believe that the story that you're telling is professor that got that from a theory that came out from one of his students. I'd have to research that a little more, and actually I did, and I'm just forgetting exactly how that worked out, but it doesn't matter to me. It's the idea that it didn't happen over hundreds of millions of years. It had to have been done some other way, because it's just by no accident that we have an alignment in there, and the government is sealing off all those entryways. Let me add something before we get cut off, because I know that they're infiltrating in this conversation. My teacher went there in the 50s. He's dead now. He died at 83 just recently in December. And Joe Blankenship is his name. So I just said that name. Anybody that's listening to this that knows Joe Blankenship would know where I'm coming from, because I'm the only person he ever took under his wing. I logged in 3 years with this man. I know everything he knows. I know his life. I know more than anybody would ever know about a lot of different science researchers out there, because that's what this guy did. He touched everybody worldwide, all the way from Tesla, Wilhelm Reich, all the way on up to everybody. He went down there with a camera and actually photographed those citadels underneath the features of the Grand Canyon. And I think that he actually took out some of the artifacts as well. I mean, he got in there in the 1950s and did that. So that's confirmation to me. He wouldn't lie to me. I mean,
did you ever see any of those photographs?
Mm-hmm.
So you have seen what's inside these tunnels and caves, right?
No, I wouldn't have. He did, though.
You saw the photographs?
No, sir, I did not.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you did. I'm sorry. Okay.
No, I know that he did. I mean, he had that film developed. I mean, back in those days, we didn't have digital photography, so he had that. He used a Russian spy camera is what he used. He held it with a string and just drew it down into the crevices wherever he was. I think he was at one of the, maybe not ISIS temple, but, you know, one of them, and he was able to see you know, these artifacts. From what I know from other people that knew Joe Blankenship, they said that he actually took artifacts out of there. I never really talked to him about that stuff. He was, you know, we had a different kind of relationship. I was more interested in learning about gold and other kind of ancient history sort of thing. At that time, actually, when I knew him, I never even developed my theory up until the point that he was still alive when I figured out that Hoover Dam was a Stargate, that we had pyramids in Grand Canyon. By then, he was pretty much out for the count, and he finally died, which is unfortunate because these were the things that he was actually, you know, this is what his whole life was about, was to find out the truth about all this stuff.
All right, we have to step away for a break and hang on. And we've been talking about that. As we went away for break, Lee, you were talking about Joe Blankenship. And you said that he had actually gotten photographs of the underground, some of the underground citadel rumored to be there, and photographs of some of the artifacts. And people who knew him, who have talked to you, other people who knew him, you knew him, of course, said that he had brought some artifacts out of there. Do you have any idea what kind of things he saw or what kind of things he took pictures of? Did he ever say?
I know that he brought out artifacts, but I don't know exactly what they were. They could have been urns. They could have been just general whatever memorabilia they left down there. But let me tell you a little bit about Joe, and this is very important for everybody to understand. Gold miners like Joe, Jim Humble, who came up with the Miracle Mineral Supplement, and all them, they were all friends. They were all gold miners. Never ever gave out their secrets. In other words, they would never tell where they found their gold claims or anything like that. These were people that were, they were opportunists, you know, and you wouldn't tell anybody where all your millions and billions were. So there was information that I didn't get, and that's just because of that kind of mentality and all that.
But did he ever talk about what kind of things he saw?
Well, no, I don't. I mean, I could talk to people that he knew very personally. I could find all that information out. But honestly, it doesn't even matter to me. And I'm telling you that because what I'm doing is I'm proving that those are monuments, those are pyramids, and that whatever culture was there before that does have, you know, it is meaningful and all that. But for what my purpose is to verify that it's not a natural occurrence and that the government is hiding something down in there. There are experts out there that know more than I do as far as what was found down there. It wasn't just Egyptian. It was also Asian. You know, they found the structure or thing or sculptures that look like Buddha, you know, cross-legged, things like that. So this is why I had a problem with Michael Tellinger, because Michael Tellinger is studying the Anunnaki in South Africa, what they were doing down there. But we have a whole other continent, which is completely ununderstood and not studied yet. I've never been there. I mean, now I can't even go because, like you said, everything's sealed off. So how could I get in there and look?
All right. Well, listen, Lee, this is fascinating stuff. And, you know, what I originally called you about was not this. What I originally called you about was your article about a Stargate. And we want you to come back and let's do a show about a Stargate in the making. And that's fascinating as well, and it is related to this in a way, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. I want to thank you for being with us, and we'll bid you goodbye.
Would you like me to be on the field phone calls? I think you're going to take callers in. Would you like?
Well,
to
because of the technical issue that we've been dealing with, that isn't possible. I can either talk to you or I can talk to callers. And
I could hang on just in case anybody wants to field a question to me.
They can't call in. You're on their line.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Gotcha.
All right. Okay. So we'll let you go. And the next time you're on, I'm not even going to announce that you're going to be on. You watch. We won't have any technical problems.
Right on.
You watch. That will be the case. All right. Thanks again. All right, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who just tuned in, you don't know. What has happened is we are able to broadcast on the TV station. You remember the problem that we had early in the week where we had a sound card that burned out? Well, that's been fixed, and we're using it tonight. I am actually on that sound card. It is the one that feeds the TV station. The TV station is not broadcasting audio. Okay, so if you're listening to me on the radio, you're hearing me through the sound card that broadcasts on the TV station. But the TV station can't hear it. Is that weird? Now, that started, I test all this stuff well before the show, and I call it a pre-flight checklist that I go through. I checked all of this. It was all working just as it's supposed to. But when it came time, that audio would not work. However, we are able now to show some of the pictures. And I'm going to open the telephone line. For those who are watching and listening to the radio at the same time, you'll be able to see the pictures that I put up. But the telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And I would like to know, everybody can go look at this photograph that I've got on my website. And it's a pretty amazing photograph, as a matter of fact. But go look at it and then decide. What do you think? Is this something that has been constructed, that has been built, or is this natural? For those who are watching, and if you finally turned it off and you said, well, there's not going to be any video over there. If you are watching, then you're getting to see these photographs and the Zooms, and we can talk about those. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And I really would like to know what you think. I think this is artificial, and I think it's artificial. By artificial, I mean it's not a natural construction. There are a lot of reasons why I think that. The color is not the same as any of the other stuff around it. It is a reddish color, but the reddish color we see in the rest of the picture is not that red. It's a different red. We see what looks like blocks. We see 90 degree angles. There is an entrance, like a doorway, an entrance into the structure, and when we brighten it up, we can see that has been blocked by, it looks like, smooth concrete to me. It's a very light color. I don't know. Look, the thing looks artificial to me. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hey, Steve.
Wow, what a show this would be if you had total access to the video. I saw the pyramid there, and to me, you know, those two legs or arms that stick out from it, they look an awful lot like the front legs that stick out on the Sphinx in Egypt.
Yeah, they do.
That was the first thing that came to my mind when I saw them, and I certainly did see the steps there. But now what I've done, Kevin, is I have clicked on that picture and gone to Mr. Bracker's website, and I'm looking at the picture of the Stargate superimposed over the Hoover Dam, and that thing is just mind-blowing.
Yeah, isn't it?
I'm sure you've looked at that.
Yeah. He's going to come back. We're going to have him back next week, and we're going to do a show on that Stargate.
Oh, that's going to make quite a show, Kevin.
Yeah, yeah. However, you have to tune in every night because I am not going to advertise that he's going to be on talking about it. And you watch, we won't have any trouble until after we get into it.
Yeah, good idea. Got to outsmart them son of a guns.
Yeah, a little bit.
And you know, I think one of the guys that talks about the Grand Canyon being more the product of a catastrophic event is none other than Dr. Paul LaViolette. You know, he talked about there being a huge ice shelf with a vast reservoir of water behind an ice dam, and in one of the sudden periods of warming that the planet goes through from time to time, that ice dam burst and all that water came gushing down from the Montana, the Dakotas, that area, and came rushing down through that entire area. And part of the evidence for that is the immense pile of animal remains, the fossilized remains of mastodons and mammoths and other large mammals that are way downstream. You know, it's like they were caught off guard. They were probably grazing in the meadows underneath that, you know, to the south of that ice dam when it all broke loose and just washed probably hundreds of thousands of specimens of animals downstream, you know, and just carried them all the way across the continent down into what's now Arizona, and they're just piled down there. And so that's pretty good evidence that that's exactly what happened, and that's what carved out the Grand Canyon to begin with.
Well, it may be him. I have to be honest. This happened, I saw the program where this PhD was talking maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and I honestly do not remember anything about who it was. I just remember the theory because I had never heard it before, and so it was pretty amazing to me. Are you where you... what we're doing now is we're streaming the video of the pictures and Zooms. Are you where you can see that?
Let me get there.
Because I want to show you some of the things up close that I talked about and see what you think about these. And
well, what I see is the main picture of that pyramid.
All right.
Do I need to click on the pyramid?
No. You just need to be watching your TV channel.
I am.
Okay. You see, I'm zooming in on the tunnel. And after I zoom in on the tunnel... is any of that showing up for you?
Yeah, I'm wondering if what's back there isn't reflective.
Well,
do you think that's shiny? Is that a shiny surface back there?
It might be metal. It might be concrete. I don't know.
Or polished volcanic rock of some kind.
Well, it looks to me as if it's been inserted back there. It doesn't look as if that's the natural end of a short tunnel.
Right, right. Like that might be a lens.
It might be. But the
lens, not for looking out at the stars, perhaps, but
the government,
some other technological purpose.
The government has blocked all tunnels and all cave entrances.
Well, I don't think a condor put that in there.
No. No, but they have. They've announced that. They have blocked them and made them off limits. Now,
if
you look at the very peak, the very top of this pyramid, I'm going to zoom in on that thing that's up there. It's rounded, and it's constructed of light-colored blocks. And that's why I was wondering if that might have been an ancient observatory up there.
Oh, very possibly, you know, and in that part of the country, you know, there are a lot of entheogenic plants, you know, that the old shamans and the high priests and so on would ingest to give them out-of-body experiences. And I can well imagine that that might have been a platform used for some kind of ritualistic purpose that would enable them to project themselves to God knows where.
All right, here's a zoom of the steps leading up to that recess. It's got, I said, some kind of carved stuff up in there. Just let me back off so you can see where we are. And, you know, that looks, to me, that looks like some kind of, those recesses, those are rooms that are carved back into there, or built back into there, and there's some kind of like altar or something up front there.
Yeah, I believe you're right, Kevin. This looks like an elaborate temple complex.
All right, now watch what happens. Okay, we're going to move on. All right, now we're back over at the main big hole, big tunnel. Look at that walkway.
Exactly.
All of those blocks.
It's like a ramp.
Yeah, well, the straight walkway, straight across, is in.
I see what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm. All of that's constructed of blocks that look like they're all the same size, and they're all the same thickness. And underneath it is a supporting platform.
It's like reinforced paving.
Uh huh. Yeah, it is. And then if we move out and to the right, we see it continues all the way over to the right.
Exactly right. Yeah, someone built that there, and they built it to last.
That's what it looks like to me. Now, this is something we didn't talk about, but I'm now going to show you something. Sitting over on the right, there's some kind of miniature monument or statue. Do you see that?
Yes.
All of this is very weathered and very eroded by weather and water and what have you. But, you know, it's still visible that, you know, this stuff looks like it was constructed.
Well, what would be interesting, Kevin, would be to, if we had the technology, personally, the technology to, you know, the way forensic engineers, forensic artists can rebuild a face, you know, from just a skeletal structure. If we could rebuild that based on what might have been before water wear and wind wear and so on, I think it would be amazing the kind of things that we would see, because this is clearly something that's been made, and it's weathered like everything else around it, which kind of helps disguise it just a little bit. But I'll tell you, Kevin, it doesn't take much imagination at all to look at this thing and see that this is an amazing structure here.
Yeah, it is. Well, I think Lee Bracker has done some amazing work, And, you know, I know there are people, it's highly controversial, and there are people that will disagree with it, and that's okay, but it's very, very intriguing. Very intriguing.
Well, it is, and it's very positive that he's actually applying some original thought, some creative thinking to this stuff, you know, instead mm-hmm. of just passing on by, you know. This is the stuff that opens up cans of worms and expands everybody's minds, you know. It builds up all our knowledge base, and it's just another piece in the puzzle. And I'm grateful for his research and his work.
Yes, I agree with that. Now, let me point out something that everybody needs to note about this picture. You're looking, folks, at a structure that's sitting on top of a column of stratification out in the middle of the Grand Canyon. It is several hundred feet from what you're looking at down to the floor of the Grand Canyon. This is setting way up high. Kind of like Machu Picchu. It's way up high. We're looking at it straight on, you know. But down below this picture, there's hundreds of feet down to the floor of the Grand Canyon. So, all right, Steve, thanks for the call, man. Quite interesting.
Absolutely, Kevin. Thank you for the show.
All right. Bye-bye. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. What do you think about this, folks? I mean, maybe you look at this, and for you, it's all completely natural, and there's nothing artificial or manufactured about it. Maybe that's the way you see it. Well, I want to hear from you too. And who do you think built this? Now, when I asked our guest, he said, "Well, I don't know. I really don't have any idea who built it." Who do you think would have built it? And when do you think it would have been built? Do you think this would have been built? It was obviously this, if this is constructed, it was constructed prior to the Grand Canyon being all cut out, because it's, well, I say obviously, maybe not. Maybe it could have been constructed after the Grand Canyon was cut out, but I don't think so. And because of the coloration of the material, it would appear to me that this has been processed in some way, perhaps baked, as Lee Bracker says. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And we have a break coming up. During that break, find your phone and let's talk about this great mystery setting out in the middle of the big ditch in Arizona called the Grand Canyon. It's not just one. There are many of these monuments out there. And we'll be back right after this. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Mike from Kentucky, Kevin.
Hello, Mike.
This whole area, not just this center part here, but just based on what I'm able to see with my eyesight here, this whole valley appears to have been engineered. On the right at the top where that cylinder is on the top,
mm-hmm.
if you look to the left, it almost looks like there's a couple of engineered openings, like you would be going back into mines.
Well, maybe.
I'm not sure if it is.
Maybe, but keep in mind, I see exactly what you're looking at. They're rectangular.
Right.
that's something like 800, 900 feet or more off the ground. It's straight straight down from there. It's like 800, 900 feet till you hit you get down to the floor.
I understand all that. Mm-hmm. And what I'm saying, though, is this whole plateau may have been, could possibly have been a built of stone. And because if you look off to my right of that the pyramid structure there, it almost looks like there's like little buildings constructed there at the base of that other one, the other wall. And I can't tell, you know, based on this. But
well, let's zoom in a little bit.
Construction, and this looks like it's constructed out, when you showed the close-ups, it looks like it's constructed out of large stone blocks.
All right, I'm going to zoom in on those rectangular structures. Now, before I do that, understand, you see this pyramid.
Yes.
And then you see those rectangles, those rectangular openings.
Yes.
Those are a great distance away behind the pyramid.
Yes, they are. I realize that.
Okay, so behind that pyramid, it drops to the floor of the canyon. And then
you see over on the other side of those big rectangular openings, it looks like there's a valley there where you would go back between those two mountains.
Mike, I think those are constructed back there because it looks like stonework causing a frame around them to be rectangular.
I think it, your guest said that he had a problem in trying to do some of his research with Michael Hersher, or however how you pronounce his name.
The same one
that was constantly putting down Zachariah Sitchin's work.
I don't recall him mentioning that name.
Maybe I heard something else. But anyway, one of the things about the Sumerian stuff, let me try to tie this in with some possibly ancient Sumerian, is that their writings indicated that anything built out of stone was built by and for the gods. Anything built out of brick was built by and for mankind. So this would tend to indicate, if that were the case, this being stone rather than brick, large stone, that this would have been built by another civilization, the giants or the gods.
Do you think...
And they had the ability, apparently, to work on top of mountains without any problem.
Well,
if we go by the Sumerian text.
At the time it was built, it might not have been on the top of the canyon may not have been cut out at that time when it was built.
That may be true. It may not have been, but we can also take the other point that it could have been exactly where it is.
Could be. All right. Do you think that what we're looking at in this picture is constructed, or do you think it's natural?
No, I think it's constructed because of the blocks, the way they're stacked. And as you showed on that altar part down there, there is a natural walkway or a lip that's been built like an understructure, like a foundation that would support all of the above. And it's all made out of stone. You can see where they're cut and
yes,
put together. And each, the top section is centered over the bottom section. They're not all stacked in the same place where they would collapse, but they're stacked in such a way as they would strengthen the structure.
Well, it looks artificial to me. It looks like a construction to me.
And I see what Steve was talking about, the paws there on the front. Possibly that was going to be some type of a sphinx or something at some point. But and possibly that weather over the years eroded away part of that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really strange. But you know, now that the part that you're talking about that looks like the front legs of the Sphinx.
Yeah.
The one that's closest to us, that's the one that has a pathway coming up to it, and it's got you know, the recesses. And
yes, you can see the steps coming right straight up to it.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think that is back in those recesses back there? It looks like some kind of stuff built back in there.
It's hard to tell because of the pixelation and, you know, mm-hmm. the blurriness of this.
Yeah.
But you can see how all of the stones are stacked in there. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that this might not be here on the outside anyway. Might be some type of colored crystalline material that's built out of.
It might be. I mean, all the way over on the right of that inset.
Yes.
You see those lighter colors. You have red I colors do. And lighter colors. And on I the do. Left, you have green.
Yes.
And lighter.
Yellows.
Mm-hmm. And
that's what makes me think this is a crystalline material.
It might be. It very well might be.
It almost, the yellow almost looks like cheese, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. Okay, now, one more thing. What do you think about this thing on top that I said looks like an observatory?
Well, it does look like an observatory. But yet it also, if we go back to the ancient Sumerians again, this could be a ziggurat in a launch platform for one of their skyships. Like we would call a missile silo.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we can't get close enough to see what it is. If we could get right up around it and climb all over it, then we might could find out if it's what it actually is or if it's, you know, because it almost looks metallic.
Well, to me, it looks like blocks. I can see blocks
now,
in there.
Yeah.
But it's a white color, and the rest of this structure is almost crimson red.
Yes. But, you know, again, if you go back to the ancient Sumerians and they talked about their landing pads, this would be similar to what they used to land and launch. So, of course, this is Sumerian mythology. I'll say that.
Yeah, it is, but... still, I mean, you know, mythology comes from some kernel of truth.
Well, you know, the Sumerians knew the solar system, all of the planets in this solar system from Pluto in to the sun, and they also knew the size, the name, and the color of every one of them. And in 76, when NASA's satellite flew by each one of them and took photographs, they proved that the ancient Sumerians, more than 3,000 years ago, were exactly right as they named and described them.
Mm-hmm. All right, one more thing I want to ask you about. One more thing I want to show and ask you about. Are you able to watch the pictures on your TV screen or on your computer?
Yes, I'm looking at it.
What is that on the right?
Are you talking about right here on the edge?
Yeah, all the way over in the right corner, you see a like an altar thing. It's almost bell-shaped.
Yeah, and then at the top of it is a lighter color that's hard to make any real definite image out of it.
Mm-hmm.
One could suggest that was a statue. And, you know, if you look at the ancient Hindus, their statues on their temples, the top of that almost has that same shape to it. And that's the way the Sumerians claim that the Anunnaki built their stuff. I know people get tired of hearing the Anunnaki, 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 but, you know, it sure beats MIT.
All right, man. I appreciate the call. Good thoughts.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye. 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. This is in the Grand Canyon. The Grand Canyon is the biggest valley on Earth. On Mars, the Martian Valley Marineris is many times bigger and deeper than the Grand Canyon. What in the world is that? There we go. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. But the Grand Canyon is the biggest ditch we have on Earth, at least out on the surface. There may be some deeper ones and bigger ones under the ocean, but that's the biggest one out on the surface. And we're looking at something that looks like ancient construction here. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is John from Conroe.
Hello, John.
I need to turn down the radio here.
All right.
So there's not any feedback.
Okay.
But I am going to be looking at the pictures.
Okay.
What I see in these pictures is perhaps a modification
mm-hmm.
of natural features.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought too.
You know, I mean, the geology is pretty consistent there. You know, I've been to the Grand Canyon. You know, even the feature on the right that, you know, some folks think might have been a statue. I mean, that's consistent with, you know, the stratigraphy that's going on, you know, right next to it.
Okay.
There's no fault in between it. You know, it's an erosional remnant. Now, the holes in there, that's different. Those look like they could be man-made, you know, artifacts of some kind of construction, and that and the where you're looking right now mm-hmm. reminds me of Mesa Verde, you know, where there might have been a little bit of habitation and some kind of overhang
mm-hmm.
and anyway that's what it looks like to me. Now, granted, I know there's lots of mysteries in the Grand Canyon, and I know that early expedition that found the, you know, Egyptian stuff and or Asian influence
uh-huh.
in the Grand Canyon. I know about all that, and that's a mystery. And I wish that wasn't hidden from us.
Uh-huh.
But it is. Now, the thing on top could still, that is, on top of this mound, or I say mound, it's an erosional remnant, still could be just a part of the erosional remnant of this whole area. But it doesn't mean it wasn't modified.
Well, if that's erosional, why is it a different color and apparently rounded blocks? Hang on, we have a break taking over. I want to hear your answer on that. All right. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And on the telephone with me is John from Conroe, Texas. And John, we were talking about this thing that I said kind of looks like it could be an ancient observatory. Now, the reason I say that is it looks very similar to an ancient observatory so identified officially in Mayan country down in Mexico. And it looks very, very similar to that. You said you think that's an erosional thing.
Remnant.
My question yeah. is, how did it erode into blocks that are rounded and totally, completely different texture and color from what's under it?
Well, that's the way geology goes. I mean, you know, layer by layer, as you're going up and down, the rock types are going to change. And that may be what we're looking at here. Now, I'd have to get up there and, you know, feet on the ground, you know, and rock hammer in hand to verify what it is. But
are you a bona fide...
It's not too different from what's around it.
Are you a bona fide expert hiker?
Well, they probably challenge that, even though I've hiked a whole lot. You know,
If you've got
challenged,
but considering your profession, maybe you could get a permit.
Well, I've done a lot of field work in geology, so I can look at this, and this doesn't look too anomalous. I mean, you know about balanced rocks in different parts of the country and different parts of the world,
yeah.
And that's the same kind of thing, where you have erosional remnants.
But that's not a single rock. That's blocks.
Well, it might be the type of limestone that it is, and, you know, granted it looks a little bit rounded.
Uh-huh.
You know, but again, boots on the ground and rock hammer in hand.
Sure, sure. I understand what you're saying.
That's what I'd need to be able to, you know.
Okay, now I'm going to zoom in on something else, and this is something that we have talked about, and that is the rectangular openings on the left side of the picture in the rock face or the cliff face back away from this, I'll call it a pyramid for shorthand. Okay.
That's fine.
Now those look too well formed rectangular, and it looks like they're outlined with rock work. I mean, that looks like somebody may have done that.
It comes in layers, you know. When geologically, you know, you're going to get layers in limestone like this stuff. You know, and I'm not trying to poo-poo the idea. I think the holes might be man-made.
Mm-hmm.
And it just gives the appearance of something that was constructed. But I don't think it was constructed. It might have been cut out, you know, or mined out.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
By people that were actually using it. And, I mean, and, you know, hey, the Native Americans like to be around water.
Well, it's a long ways down from there to the water.
Well, they also like to be up above when it gets into flood stage, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So.
Okay, so what you're saying is you do see some of this that looks to you as though it may have been modified.
Yeah.
And that's really, that's what I said in the beginning. And I'm going to kind of focus in now on these paws. I don't think they're paws. I hope all of you understand I'm using that as a shorthand to describe.
Hey, well, that's what the Sphinx looks like, and that's how they made the Sphinx.
Mm-hmm.
It was out of natural, you know, rock that was in place.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, do you have any guess, and I know you'd have to have boots on the ground, but any guess how old this construction. Now, by construction, I'm talking about modification, but modification includes some construct. So, these modifications, you have any idea how old it might be?
That's a pretty good guess. But at the same time, the erosion looks minimal on these right-angle faces going down.
Mm-hmm.
On either side of the, quote, paws.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I would say probably, you know, within, you know, 100,000 years. You know, but then, of course, this is forbidden archaeology.
Well, yeah. All right, one more thing I haven't shown, and that's to focus in on what may be the remnants of a statue. What do you think?
The what now? The
remnants of a statue. Right at the corner of the paw. There it is. You can see the head, the shoulders, the arm, the leg pulled up. What do you think?
Don't know.
It's all mysterious, isn't it?
Well, yeah, of course. That's why you'd like to get down in there, right? Oh, by the way, I wanted to compliment you on your beard.
Oh, you like that, huh?
Oh, man, I'm a bearded guy.
Oh, yeah?
I go, that's great. I'm envious that you got color in your beard.
Well, you know what? I don't have as much color as it appears on the TV channel. It's the lighting in here. It's the lighting, I promise you.
Okay. All right.
it's mainly, it's my hair are dark blonde, maybe you might say light brown, and gray. But because of the angle of the lighting in here, the lighting is all angled at the wall behind me, and so it makes it darker, and makes it appear darker than it really is. But thank you. I appreciate the compliment.
Is what it is. My beard's all gray. I wish I could. I mean, my hair's got color in it, but my beard's all gray, and so, you know, that's different.
Yeah.
Anyway,
All right.
I'll talk to you later.
Thanks for the call. Very interesting. All right, we have time for one more quick call. If you call right now, 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. And, you know, I think pretty much along the lines that John, who just called, pretty much along the lines of his thought, and that is, I think you have a natural formation here that has been modified. And, you know, I think that I don't know that I would say I think that is an erosional remnant right up top. But then again, I'm not a geologist. To me, that looks like structure. But the operative word here is looks like. I can't say for sure that that's what it is. But this is, I think this shows very definite signs of having been handled. Caller, you got about 30 seconds. Tell us your first name and from where you're calling and a quick comment or question.
Hi, Kevin. It's Lee. I'll just follow up with all the callers.
Uh-huh. Okay. So you have a comment or a question about it?
Well, you know, I could follow up with some of the callers.
Oh, this is Lee, our guest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, Lee, we are now within 1 minute of being off the air, man.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. But we're going to have you back on, and you trust me, I'll have all of this fixed where they won't be hitting it like they're hitting it tonight.
They really got us, didn't they? I warned you about that.
Yeah. That's all
you
right.
You got a lot of good callers in, and they asked very pertinent things, and they also were very complimentive about the show tonight, and I really appreciate them.
All right.
This is all an effort to, you know, follow what's going on and come to the conclusions that need to be.
Wish we had more time, but we really don't. The music is playing. All right. Stay on the line, though, Lee. I'll talk to you here in just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this evening. That's a wrap. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You may call me whatever you like. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time.